Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of You Make Me Sick. Today, I am joined by a very special guest. This is Timothy Murphy. He's a registered nurse. He is a fellow of integrative nursing at Boston Medical Center. He was recently published in the periodical Beginnings, which is a publication that's distributed by the American Holistic Nurses Association. In his article, Tim and his colleagues discuss the role of integrative interventions, the efficacy and possibilities of these interventions in treating pain, anxiety, and just other common problems that are often treated with pharmacological agents, which in turn can lead to other issues. So the role of integrative nursing, even though it's, you know, a lot of these interventions have been around for a long time, is becoming more accepted just due to, we actually now have, you know, evidence-based data that supports it being just something that's more widely used, and especially with the opioid crisis, which we'll kind of touch on. So Tim, thank you for coming on the show and welcome.
Thank you, Andrew. Hello, You Make Me Sick audience.
So Tim, how long have you been a nurse and which populations have you practiced in?
Been a nurse since 2001, so about 23 years, mostly at Boston Medical Center. Worked as a, initially as a float pool med-surg, and then I went to the ICU, medical ICU, and then after that, I joined the medical ICU float pool. So I float between all the ICUs.
And that's usually when I see you, he'll visit our unit, or oftentimes I'll float to a unit and he'll be there too. So with regard to integrative nursing, what is integrative nursing if you kind of had to sum it up in just a couple of sentences?
Integrative nursing is nursing interactions that go beyond just the physical ailment that the patient has. So you take into consideration multiple needs. There's spiritual, psychological, emotional, but mostly it's all giving them other things to help their, improve their well-being.
And in the article I was reading, so you mentioned something called Kreitzer's integrative therapy model. And I think, is that Mary Jo Kreitzer? Is that the one? Yeah. I think she was University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
I kind of did a little bit of research on it. I don't know if you're able to kind of go in depth a little bit more just on her and what her philosophy was and just how that kind of plays into the whole integrative nursing model.
Sure, I can talk about that. So Mary Jo is well known in the holistic nursing environment. I don't know what the right word is. So she has the six principles that she wrote up. I don't remember them all off the top of my head, but like the first one has to do with, and this is really important, and they're all important, that a patient or a client, whoever it is can't be separated from their environment. Like there's a lot more contributing factors than what meets the eye. It's the basic principle there. So you have to consider your patient population and where they're from and how they help them heal better, not necessarily completely change. In our instance, we have a lot of people that are homeless and we have a lot of drug addiction patients. So just trying to learn how to appreciate what their needs are for that audience of people. She has, and I wish I had the list here. I don't. She talks about nature being a very, very big, I think that's the third one or fourth one, that people work well with nature. So for instance, I have a charge nurse I was talking to not too long ago, and she said that when she's stressed out, when all the chaos is going on, there are times she'll just walk down the hall to look out the window to reset. And also,
so it's a lot of just taking the kind of more of, you know, having the physical on one end, but also considering the other aspects of kind of mental health as far as spiritual health, like you were saying.
Yep.
So with, I know that in the article you had talked about, you know, you guys, like you have specialized training for this too. What kind of, you know, specialized certifications or training do you actually need to become part of the fellowship, you know, or be a fellow with integrative nursing?
So we have, there's an application process. There's training at the hospital for people to learn how to do Reiki, to learn aromatherapy. And the people that are applying, nurses that are applying to join the fellowship, which is a 12-month, one day a week day where you do integrative therapies for patients and nurses. and you really need to have Reiki certification in there. At least is 1, 2, 3 for masters. You got to have at least one, and then we can work with you from there. The aromatherapy is another thing that we have people take. And generally, you have to have a self-care practice. You have to have an understanding of integrative therapies and a desire to move them forward, to participate in them. And we do have a lot of nurses that are very interested in integrative therapies. So we have, let me see, five or six fellows right now. We have one designated just for the emergency room. And then the other five, hopefully one day a week, will cover the rest of it.
Which is pretty crazy because the BMC is a big hospital. It's over 500 beds. The emergency department's huge. That seems like a pretty heavy load for you guys. Is that something that, does it ever seem overwhelming at times? Do you feel like you guys could use more funding possibly to get more integrative nurses? Or is it something you hope in the future will become more utilized?
Absolutely, on many aspects. The first part of being overwhelmed, every one of us has been on there for ourselves by one day, and we'll have a list of just say 20-something patients that we want to see. And it's tough to get to see them. And then we have other things we do for, we'll spend time out for teaching or visiting a nurse unit and giving them therapies. So it kind of puts us behind the eight ball. We want to get them all done. So we do the best we can. And it's progress. It's always making progress. And I think that the hospital, because just by the fact that they have us there and they're doing all this stuff, they're behind us. We're getting support. How far it will grow, I have a dream, you know. I would love for it to be, you know, I'd like to answer the phone and say, integrative nursing, Tim Murphy, how can I help you? You know, that we have our department. But one step at a time, we have integrative nurses every day doing stuff on the floors. And so that's great.
It is, yeah, especially if you think back, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you definitely probably didn't have any of those options available. So
no, I mean, it was about 20 years ago that some nurses started bringing in integrative therapies like Reiki and floating it up to the powers that be. And there was a little interest, but not a lot. And then slowly they got developed and built on. They have aromatherapy and Reiki policies. Then they got the Integrative Nursing Council in 2016. And I like to say, like, I'm the co-chair and I'm kind of driving the bus, but all these other nurses built the roads. Like, they did the heavy lifting, and now we're just pushing the needle a little bit further all the time.
What types of, so you cover the entire hospital, you know, emergency room all the way through maternity and delivery. What types of conditions or populations do you guys kind of focus on? Are there more that utilize you guys more? Are there more that you try to visit units you know, more frequently than others?
First, whoever puts the orders in, kind of what we work off of. So
it's a nurse-driven, I'm a nurse. Like, so as a nurse, there are certain things that we're allowed to order without a physician having to sign off on it. And integrative therapies are one of those. So it's something that, and that's what you're referring to, right? As far as when orders come in for it, it would be something probably the nursing, you know, staff is something that they'd order, correct?
Nursing staff or any of the doctors, a lot of people are capable. If you can put an order in, you can order integrative therapies for your patient. And then as far as where we go the most, different floors order more often. So I guess get buy-in by nurses. The fourth floor often orders us at the med-surg floor. We have a lot of nurses up in labor and delivery, which are doing it, which is kind of a great thing. But we do go all around the hospital, all the floors, and we're trying to extend out into the clinics. And we have nurses that are on the council that aren't fellows that are passing the word and doing their own little integrative therapies for patients all over.
So with, you know, all of medicine and nursing especially, I mean, it's it focuses on evidence-based practice. So do you think and do you feel encouraged that, you know, there's finally adequate evidence coming in to support integrative therapies from Reiki all the way to aromatherapy and, you know, even compassionate touch, things like that? Do you feel that these interventions are, you're going to start to see them become more accepted? Because I know that in the past, things that necessarily weren't driven by data sometimes were poo-pooed or shunned and weren't really accepted. But now there's just more data coming in. Do you think it's something that physicians and nurses will just kind of grow to accept more because we actually have solid data to support the use of these interventions?
Without a doubt. I like to think of Jon Kabat-Zinn and all the stuff that he started doing. He's the guy that started the mindfulness meditation practices in the healthcare field. And he did a lot of work on pain reduction through meditation, aromatherapy and Reiki. There are many, many studies out there that show that it helps and works very good for patients. So without a doubt, that's coming in. But it's also at the bedside when you can see it. It's kind of twofold and really great. But the data that the doctors and stuff really want to see is they want to see journals written up by it. Because, for instance, the person who taught me Reiki at the hospital, she's a pediatric nurse, and she had a very difficult patient to take care of. And the doctor called her, and they were trying stuff, and she's like doing the Reiki on the patient, and the patient calmed down a whole lot, and they were able to get the procedure done, and everybody was happy. And when they went out in the hallway, the doctor said to her, "Well, do you have any data that proves this?" And she's like, "Did you not just see that?" You know, but they really only speak the language of documentation data. And to that effect, we've got 3 or 4 IRB research projects going right now.
Which is excellent. I think that's one thing. Yeah, we see it all the time that it's physicians. I think it's just the way they're probably conditioned through med school and everything else. If it's not in the textbook and you don't have data to support it, then it's not something they're going to do. So I'm glad to hear that finally we're going to have some more evidence to support these kind of being brought forward. Do you feel like it's been kind of an uphill battle trying to introduce just the integrative nursing to, you know, not only the physicians, but nursing staff as well? Do you feel that sometimes there's a little skepticism towards it just because it is, you know, quote unquote, alternative types of you know, medicine or interventions?
Less all the time. There's some people that are just, it doesn't work for them. I mean, this doesn't work for everybody. It works for most people. So when I go see your patient, and you're busy somewhere else, and you come back and see that the patient is feeling so much better after I've done an intervention, that speaks volumes. So, you know, we show up on the floor, and then the nurses will recognize, "Oh, can you see my patient?" So yeah, it's growing all the time. The resistance is less, and we have doctors ordering us. I love the anesthesiologists because they prepare patients for operations, and they'll find out they have chronic pain, and they can put an order in for the patient to see us while they're coming in for surgery, which is helpful because we're trying to deal with chronic pain. That's what we do really good on.
Which is actually really cool because that's one aspect, and we'll kind of get into that in a little bit, that in the past has been treated with anti-anxiety medication or opioids, you know, pain medications that have all kinds of other just terrible side effects. Kind of to your point about being involved with the patients. So in the article in Beginnings, one of your colleagues mentions that quote, "Once they're seen and heard, patients are often more receptive to accepting any kind of intervention that might help with pain." Do you feel that patients have been receptive to receiving, you know, aromatherapy or Reiki or, you know, any of these other interventions? And like you said before, like you've had patients that have, you know, once it works once, they find they like to have it, you know, multiple times. Yeah. Has it been hard, though, especially at Boston Medical Center? You also mentioned in the article, I think the word you had used was hard scrabbled for the population there. It's in South Boston. It's an area nicknamed Methadone Mile. So there's a lot of substance abuse, a lot of mental health issues, and it's definitely a lower income area. Do you feel that it's harder to convince those types of patients to accept these kind of integrative therapies?
You know, it's surprising how you may suspect that somebody wouldn't want this, and they do. The hardest people I have tend to be people that are deeply spiritual, committed to a certain religion. They often feel a little uncomfortable with it. But most of the patients are more than willing, especially if they're in pain, to listen to you for a little bit. And again, it's surprising. I walked by one day, and I heard a new patient coming on in, and he was really upset about his pain level, what had been in the ED for I don't know how many hours. and was transferred to the floor and was just not being hurt. And I just heard him when I was walking by, so I popped in and I had some aromatherapy. And honestly, I don't remember which one I used, but I was like, you know, we can offer you a couple of things if you want to try while we're waiting for this stuff. And he was very receptive because somebody was actually paying attention to him, which is what I think Sarah was alluding to in the article, is when you really listen to somebody and you're connecting to them, it brings the tone down and they're able to receive whatever you're offering. He really wanted his pain medicine, but he took the inhaler and he stopped yelling, that one patient I'm thinking of. So the biggest problem I have is with this population of low income would be that they really can't afford a $150 an hour Reiki session if they would do it outside.
Right.
That's an issue, but it's also beyond my scope. But I can give it to them here, and they love it. They really, really say, this is great.
So to kind of continue on, you know, similarly walking down that road as well. So you've obviously been a nurse for a long time. You've seen the start, the middle, and now hopefully towards, we're heading towards the end of the opioid crisis. We still see all kinds of issues, especially we are with drug overdoses, and a lot of that's just people getting, you know, quote unquote, hot doses. But it's affected so many people, especially, you know, in these underserved populations that we see quite often. In the article, you mentioned that 73% of our patients come from low income or under-resourced populations. And have you seen that with these patients, as you just kind of mentioned, that they're a little more receptive? Do you think this is something that's kind of helped to, you know, at least or helped or can help kind of stem off the opioid crisis as we try to, you know, get through the end of it here?
I don't know how we're going to stem off addiction in general. We can, like I always say, we can contribute. We can push the needle a little bit. We can help. I had a woman who was a substance abuse patient, and I came on in, and she was with her boyfriend there, and I think I did Reiki on her, and she was like, John, you got to try this. She was just blown away by how good it made her feel. Or in another case, this is a great story. I had a 31-year-old, a valve replacement, who had a lot of those little post-it notes, which is when we have trouble patients, patients that may, you know, scream a lot in the ER. So anyways, she had had surgery for her heart valve, and I saw all the post-it notes, and I went to see her, and her nurse was walking out of the room. And I was like, hey, can I go see your patient? He's like, go at it. I don't think she'll deal with you. But I walk in the room, right, and she's supposed to be, she's 31. She looked 50. She's got tats all over, lots of piercings. She was on the phone. Jerry Springer was blasting on the TV or something like that. She's picking out her food. And I was like, hi, I'm with the integrative therapies and we do things like Reiki and meditation. And she's like, huh. She hung up on somebody. And then said, yeah. So I sat her down. I did a meditation with her. And then she was like, that was moving. And then I got an audience, right? I did Reiki. I gave her some aromatherapy. And when I was done, she's like, I'm going to call my mother because she's going to hear in the sound of my voice that something's changed. So the point is, when we do these therapies with our population or anybody, they tell their friends, they tell people. So we can help spread. And then if they use these things, it'll lower their pain and keep them a little more comfortable. If they can stop using, that's a big ask, but
that's,
we can
different.
Help.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that too, you have the psychological plus the chemical dependency, which is physiological, but definitely it's, yeah. And I love the fact that integrative nursing actually helps to at least kind of, it adds another intervention that we can use to try and get people to deal with their pain in other ways other than pharmacological. So
absolutely. Yeah.
With regard to Reiki, so Reiki, it originated in Japan in the 1920s. So it's been used now for over 100 years just to aid kind of in pain and stress and anxiety reduction. For those listening who aren't aware of or aren't sure what Reiki is, can you kind of just explain kind of what it is and just how it's administered?
Sure. Reiki is a, as you said, Japanese origin. It's a healing energy practice where we put our hands lightly touching or just above somebody, and it allows a universal energy to kind of just flow through the the conduit through the person, the practitioner, and into the patient. Generally speaking, the energy goes where it goes. In a great way of saying it, when people have Reiki, they soften themselves, they relax, and they just lower the inflammation process that's going on.
With most of your Reiki sessions that you've done, have you been using them for just pain reduction? Have they been used for anxiety? Is it both? Have you seen it work better for one more than the other?
I think they're very much related. If you have one and the other, then they're not related. I mean, they can be separate. But anybody that got chronic pain has their guards up and they're anxious all the time. You know, they're always protecting themselves. And so when we do Reiki, and what it really does is, it just like I was mentioning, lowers the inflammation process. It helps a person to drop their fight and their guard so that they're able to heal a little bit. And when they stop the tension and they relax a little, it just helps them not have the desire, the pain levels, and it drops them. So it's tough to say whether anxiety or pain is more often used, but they're used at the same time, and they are very effective on helping patients just, I don't like using the word relax, but it does. It just helps them calm right down so that they can heal better.
You would also mention aromatherapy, which aromatherapy is probably my favorite of all the integrative therapies. Like, I'm a huge fan of the olfactories. Play a huge part, just, you know, connections to the brain everywhere else. There's actually an article in the Journal for Peri-Anesthesia Nursing that came out in 2023. I just kind of want to quote an article in that with regard to aromatherapy. It stated that, quote, heightened physiological response to increased anxiety leads to increased perioperative nausea and vomiting, higher pain scores, and susceptibility to prolonged recovery from surgery. Implementing aromatherapy can reduce anxiety, thereby attenuating these complications and preventing additional accrued costs, which goes right back to your point of these interventions can, you know, you were talking about anesthesiologists really loving you guys just because it helps, you know, with the pre-anesthesia period and just trying to get people calmed down for surgery. Do you feel that aromatherapy, like I said, it's probably my favorite of it. I've never actually, I haven't had a Reiki session, so I can't say if I would like that more or not.
I'll give you one.
But I love aromatherapy. You guys, and I should mention that the integrative nursing, it's not just for patients. So they can actually, nurses can actually use this as well. And I know it's at least a couple of times a year, you guys will kind of set up shop on our unit and let us come in and kind of talk to you guys. And I know that you'll hand out the little inhalers, the aromatherapy inhalers. And I've still got like three of them from a year ago that are still working right now that are great. With regard to aromatherapy, do you feel that there, you know, are there certain conditions or certain patients that aromatherapy tends to work better on than say something like Reiki or, you know, compassionate touch or something else?
Well, definitely like the anesthesia stuff you're talking about, the operating room, nausea is a big problem. And before that, the white coat syndrome. If you're coming in for surgery, when I talk to the PACU nurses, we'll often talk to them to listen to the patient to help them feel at ease because they're going to be stressed out. And then we have a study going on down there for pre and post op with anesthesia with aromatherapy. And the nausea, it works faster than Zofran. And an example, so the nurses down there are always asking us for ginger, red mandarin, or peppermint, because those all work really good for nausea. And I had a patient a couple weeks ago who on report I'd heard was having off and on bouts of nausea. I was in the room and he's had it. And I had known that. So I'd grabbed some ginger inhalers. I was like, why don't you try this? And then I'll get on the computer and I'll see if they have Zofran available. He took it. And then before I could even get my password in, he said, don't bother. This is already done. The ginger had already healed his nausea right then. And you don't have to take a pill. And that's what we're really trying to do. Avoid people just taking medicine.
Which is great, yeah, especially, and you know, for people who, Zofran's it's a great, you know, anti-nausea drug, but for some people, it can also complicate certain patients if they have a prolonged heart rhythm. There's some contraindications for it. And anytime you can avoid giving medication, if you can treat it with something that, you know, is non-medicinal, it's definitely preferred. So it's fantastic. Yeah. Aromatherapy is awesome. Yeah. Kind of to the point of, you know, trying to avoid giving medications. So a large number of studies, in fact, probably most studies that for medications are usually funded by pharmacological corporations or their subsidiaries. With integrative nursing kind of just starting to gain momentum right now, do you think because they're much lower cost and they don't utilize the pharmacological agents that funding will kind of be lacking for more research for integrative studies, just, you know, as a, you know, pharmacological corporations, they probably don't have to worry about it too much right now, infringing on their bottom line. But if it gains momentum and it's, you know, it starts to curb the use of a lot of medications in hospitals, do you feel that pharmacological companies could ever try to, you know, stop funding for more integrative research?
The lobby business is kind of above my understanding, but the general gist of it I get is if that company feels like it's in their best interest, they will spend a lot of money to do whatever they can to make more money. That said, small pockets of nurses and people that are driven catalysts to make a difference are doing things like the studies we're doing and adding it to patients and stuff like that, healthcare, so that they're doing better. I can't imagine fighting Big Pharma, but you know, they say that if you could write a prescription for meditation, if they could get paid for meditation, physicians would be writing prescriptions for meditation all the time. A simple thing like that, right? It's probably better than a beta blocker, but so we just keep on moving a little bit forward, and you know, hopefully, Big Pharma will decide to invest in us instead of against us.
It would be nice, right? I mean, and I think you're right. Like, Big Pharma is never going away. We're never going to get rid of it, and it's. But it would be nice to give less medications. We see it all the time, especially in the ICU. You complicate patient stays; they're there longer than they need to be, or they have adverse reactions. And it's often, well, this medication is doing this. We're going to give this medication to counteract that medication, and it just becomes a whole just can of worms that you open up. So. As I kind of, you know, stepped on before with the nursing fellowship that you have right now in the hospital, your funding for that, like BMC, depending, I don't know how much they give you guys, like funds wise, like ideally, let's say 5 years from now, where would you see the program headed, or where would you see it, you know, at 5 years or even 10 years from now? So I know that you said you would love to have your own department, right, of just integrative nursing, where you guys could literally have full-time employees there, you know, every day of the week. Do you see it ever getting to that point where you guys could actually, where it would become such a utilized intervention that you could actually justify being there and having somebody there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and have multiple nurses on staff?
I don't see it being 24/7, but I could see it being three nurses across the week, you know, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, or at least 5 days a week. It's a definite possibility. We've got a big foothold. We're moving forward. People like what we're doing, and it helps with job satisfaction for the nurses and better patient outcomes. You know, all the things we've talked about. So I do envision it. We didn't used to have a skin team, right? Now we have skin committees come around. So, and we didn't use to, there was a time when we didn't have any integrative therapies, and some nurses put some hard work into making it happen, getting aromatherapy, rating policies, Reiki. So my thing that I'm pushing for is the dream of having full-time nursing integrative therapists. That would be great. And I think it will happen. I think so.
Which would be great. I mean, it's something that could definitely be utilized through, and especially covering the entire hospital. So like I said, and the clinics as well. So you're not just doing the inpatients, but you're doing, you know, outpatient clinics, everything else, which is huge. So it's a lot of ground to cover. It's a big campus. So as far as the future of integrative nursing, just in general or as a whole. So, I mean, we've discussed just a couple of the topics with Reiki and with aromatherapy. Like, do you have any other interventions that we haven't talked about or that you could see becoming kind of thrown more into the fold as well, just, you know, in the future of integrative nursing?
Yeah, I think we didn't mention mindful meditation. I did mention Jon Kabat-Zinn.
Okay, yeah.
We do art therapy, and we're actually working with the Boston University School of Arts to get music therapy in for some patients. All these things. And I think that if I could get something to the clinics that are in East Boston and South Boston, our extended family, smaller places, which are getting patients before they're really sick and getting them involved with meditation and different other aspects of finding Reiki and stuff like that, that they would stay better longer.
Yeah, I definitely think, yeah, especially with the, you know, if we think about a lot of the patients that we see, you know, there's a lot of heart disease, a lot of kidney disease, and a lot of this is related to high blood pressure. And a lot of these interventions can actually help kind of stem high blood pressure. So the mindful meditation, aromatherapy, you know, just anything to relieve the stress and anxiety that leads to that hypertension could probably help a lot of these people in the long run. And it's free. Like, once you teach somebody how to do that, like, they can do it on their own and it doesn't cost them a dime just to kind of do it. They just need to be able to, you know, just remember what they were taught. So it's kind of a, you know, feed a man a fish, you feed him for one day, teach a man to fish, you feed him for life. So
exactly
like that kind of philosophy. Awesome. So that's kind of all the questions that I kind of had for you, Tim. Did you have anything else that you kind of wanted to add or let people know or anything I didn't cover just about integrative nursing or the therapies you guys provide?
There's a lot that I could talk about for a long time, but I'll just touch on the fact that we really love doing these therapies for the healthcare providers. You know, teaching nurses, like you just said, teach, you know, them how to fish and they can go on further. So I teach the nurses about Reiki, and we give them classes. We teach them Reiki, how they can practice it, and we give them the aromatherapy classes so they can bring it to their floors and teach them a brief intentional grounding so that a nurse can be settled when she goes into the room and is a better nurse. When we teach them self-care, you know, we just had a big conference for the whole day Monday. We had almost 200 nurses show up for integrative therapy lectures and actions. It was brilliant. And so we're really just trying to help the healthcare providers as well as the patients to optimize their health.
It's got to be cool for you too, and pretty gratifying when you do see that there's that many people that really do want to learn more about the integrative nursing and that are interested in it and think it can be helpful. So I think it's a, you know, congratulations to you on one, like on being published, which is huge because that, you know, a lot of people never get to that point. And two, just being able to, like I said, kind of have an influence on people and let them see that there's, you know, different types of nursing out there that, you know, we can treat patients, not just pharmacologically, but more of a holistic approach. And it actually works, that we see evidence now that you can look and there's data to support it. And it's, you know, even the academics with their pocket protectors and their thumbs up their butts, like we can look at them and say, listen, we have data now to support that this is actually helpful. And like you said, there's more studies being done right now. You can go on anywhere like NIH or PubMed and look, and there's lists and lists of studies with regard to Reiki and aromatherapy. And it's just getting more extensive too, especially with the aromatherapy studies. Some of them are actually looking more at like PET scans and MRIs to see which parts of the brains are being activated by different scents and what that, you know, just as far as connections the brain makes with those. So it's actually really cool. And like I said, I still feel like it's probably underfunded, the research for it, just because it's not super profitable. Because I mean, a lot of these things just, it doesn't cost a lot to make and to distribute. So hopefully it's not a hurdle in the future for integrative therapies, integrative medicine, but we'll see. But until then, it's great that we have, what's that?
I'll say one thing, like you just said, being an influence. So I really love the fact that nursing using different things could improve the trust that the public already has in us, you know? So it's a beautiful and rewarding thing to help patients get better.
I agree, you know, especially it's one thing to, you know, watching somebody actually get discharged from the hospital is really nice. We don't see it very often in the ICU, but once in a while people get to go home and it's nice to think that you have a part in them at least getting out to enjoy their lives and, if you can help them be pain-free or anxiety-free, that's even better. So
for sure.
Awesome. Tim, thank you for coming on. I really do appreciate it. Further down the road, I'll have to touch base with you and kind of see where things are. And then maybe we'll do a part two here for integrative therapies and talk a little bit more just about some of the other things that maybe we didn't get to today. So but I appreciate it very, very much.
I appreciate it right back. Thank you so much.
All right. I'll talk to you later. All right.
Bye, Andrew.
All right, thanks, Tim. For relief, integrative medicine, come and bring us peace. Reiki's gentle touch, healing energy to mend. Aromatherapy sends soothing from end to end. Mindful meditation, clearing clouds from my mind. Breathing in, breathing out, leave anxiety behind. The power of these practices upon